To CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And here on Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie, and today's episode of Typically Tuesdays is going to be a little bit different. So I'm going to be talking about the topic of not leaning into instant gratification. I'm going to be talking about trying some things, failing, and the value of practice, the value of perseverance and persistence, and consistency. And while I do that, I'm actually going to be crocheting because I'm not very good at it, but I'm doing so on air today to basically make a point about what I'll be talking about. So stick around for the rest of the program for that. I haven't honestly been listening to a lot of music lately, but this is some of the music that some musicians that I follow have been performing recently, I guess, or releasing as new stuff into their discography. So get into it. The first track today is Fan Club Wallet with No You Anymore. Enjoy.
I'm supposed to. you know I love Elvis. We were broken romantic, yes we were. Cut off t-shirt and tuxedo pants, honky tonk for a slow dance. You were everything I didn't know I needed. We're both animals no one could tame. My last name.
Latest from Gouldy Boutillier off of her record Gouldy Boutillier Presents Gouldy Montana. That's Neon Nuptials. Hope you enjoyed that one here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before that, you heard American Chinese Bear with Love You. A fun track, a little bit of indie for this first part of the playlist this hour. I'm gonna go into some very non-indie stuff later on. But yeah, I'm Leslie. I'm crocheting a little project right now on Typically Tuesdays. And this is actually, what do I want to call this? I guess this is a crocheted keychain of a watermelon motif created by French fabric artist, French textile artist, I guess, Chloe Glynn. The pattern is for free on her website, and I can link to that in the show notes of this episode later on this week when it gets posted onto cjsf.ca. But one of the reasons why I wanted to, well, I mean, the reason why I wanted to make this project is because, you know, we gotta continue to show up for Palestine and to show up for the people of Gaza, who finally are recognized by the UN as being genocided just a few weeks ago, even though this was obviously something that a lot of people had already recognized was happening. The systemic, the systemic exploitation and oppression of, like, aid not being able to enter into Gaza, and the ways that the Israeli government have been purposefully targeting schools and refugee camps and hospitals with their airstrikes over the course of almost 2 full years now has been absolutely horrendous to be watching. And if you are a person who is engaged with what's happening around the world, you know this as well. Wanted to make this crochet project so that I could have something to show my unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine, and to show that I, as many people do, it is no longer an unpopular opinion, would like the genocide of Gaza to cease. And I actually already made one of these watermelon keychains earlier this week, or last week, I guess. And it turned out okay, but I had to try and try and try and try again with that little item, because I'm not very good at crocheting. My little background would be, I guess, that the women in my family have been quite good at crocheting and knitting and can, like, make things right out of their brain, but that skill was not handed down to me. And more importantly, I didn't really have the patience to learn how to do it when I was younger. It's only in the past couple of years that I've begun to pick up crocheting and knitting out of mostly vanity, because I want to make my own clothes. But it has been an uphill battle, definitely, because I'm not good at everything new, and most people are not that way either. One of the things that I have really treasured in learning how to crochet and learning how to knit is knowing that I'm really bad at it, and knowing that I would say I'm like a beginner in many ways. I don't really have the hand skills to do it. I understand the way that it works. My brain seems to understand that. And because I grew up with people who make clothes, I understand how clothes are made, what patterns are needed, what shapes are needed and stuff. But the act of putting things together and counting, always having to count, has oftentimes been difficult. Tension as well, pulling the tension on the thread has also been a little bit of a challenge, because I'm not always consistent with it, and that is something that I'm trying to get better at. So earlier last week, when I had made my first watermelon crochet keychain, I had to start maybe the first step several times, maybe 3 or 4 times, because I was losing count, I wasn't really paying attention, I was getting confused about how to do the stitches. And finally, when it was done, I found that the tension, you could see in the product how inconsistent my tension was. And so I thought, why don't I just make another one so that I can be able to see and remember and learn from my mistakes with making the first one. And also I can have an additional keychain to hang on my other bag. And I think part of the fun, part of the fun of learning these new skills is the frustrating part. It's the part where you have to fail and try again and learn how to do it better. This is an opinion that I've held for quite a while, I guess. And if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you probably know where I'm trying to get at here. But imperfectionism in making stuff, I think is really important because it teaches us how to do things better. And even more important than that, it gives a particularly human quality to what we make. It's not even just the way that the art piece or the keychain or the, I don't know, sweater that you're making turns out. Rather, the act of trying and knowing that something may not be perfect, but you gave it your all, is, I think, a really important human experience. And when I look around me and see the proliferation of, the proliferation of AI-generated anything, and the way that people are so happy to lean into it, it makes me really sad. Because, you know, where is that human spirit, that gumption to try and fail? A lot of, I think, being a person is about doing something, sucking at it, and then trying again. That's the only way that we get better at doing things. And when we don't have, I think, the patience or I think if we don't have the sensibility to want to be imperfect, or not to want to be imperfect, but when we don't have the sensibility to try something and then be kind of bad at it, if we rely on convenience, if we continue to rely on urgency and this lack of ability to, or I guess try so hard to avoid, how many is this? That's two? Hold on. You see, now this is me doing something related to the crochet. I'm just counting things and counting stitches. If we refuse to accept the fact that some things take time, some things take practice. Actually, a lot of things take time, a lot of things take practice. I think we risk kind of disconnecting from ourselves, from each other, from what we're doing in our life. You know, it's a very alienating thing. I feel like people subconsciously, they don't realize that they're doing. I think also when it comes to making something, or let me say this, not making something, but I think when it comes to trying, and persisting in spite of potential failure, in spite of imperfectionism. When we try to do something, we allow for a skill or for a community or for an organization or a movement to have more of a chance of having longevity, I think. For most people in this world, very few things in life are super easy, right? And I feel very much that part of the essence of doing something, feeling a sense of purpose in doing it, has to do with the struggle. It has to do with that, because you have to learn how to work within limits. You have to learn how to become creative and resourceful. You have to learn how to obtain, well, I guess I would say you have to learn how to gain and practice skills and be consistent with doing so. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna count my stitches and see if I have the right number of stitches. And if I don't, I'll just have to take some of this apart and redo it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Okay, this is the last one, I think. And I understand that for some people, the needing to wait it out when learning a new skill, having to wait it out and practicing how to get better at doing the thing, I understand for some people that is the worst part of doing anything. I know for a lot of folks, like, they feel the need to be perfect and great at doing a new thing the very first time they do it. Because we're a culture that really values greatness and victory. We're not a culture that, like, appreciates failure. We're not a culture that, despite the way that it wants to tell people that it values meritocracy and diligence and hard work, we're not a culture that does that. We're like, you gotta be a genius when you first start doing things. And being a genius gives you status and power in this world, right? And for me, it doesn't come to a surprise at all that tech bros and their followers are so hung up on things like generative AI that allow you to, you know, get the answer to something right away, or allow you to get an image or a film or a piece of writing right away as soon as you enter it into the machine. Obviously for the CEOs, it's about money, right? But for the followers, it's about feeling adjacent to that, I think. Feeling adjacent to greatness. feeling adjacent to having the power to create something that they manifested with the snap of a finger or with the typing of the keyboard. A few words into some kind of program. But you know, to those people, and to you, listener, I really want to say there's an incredible sense of accomplishment in being quite bad at something, like learning a new skill, sucking at it, practicing it in spite, and then seeing your progress. I'm just looking at the stitches that I've made so far on my keychain, and compared to the first